You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, a Football Tuesday edition. And I am here at the Liberty dealership in Solon on Aurora Road. Please stop by and join us here. Hanford Dixon is here, the top dog, with us, and we'll be here till the top of the hour. So if you're in the neighborhood, please stop by. If you're not in the neighborhood, get in the neighborhood and stop by. We want to hear from you. We want to see you. In the meantime, we're going to do something we love to do on the show. It is an extremely popular segment that our producer, Dave DiNatale, came up with. It is called...
After further review...
And it's sweeping the nation.
It is. It's not to be stopped.
It's not to be stopped.
It's not to be stopped.
You think it's only sweeping Cleveland or Northeast Ohio? Regional? Not a regional thing. It's a national thing. And we're hearing a lot of buzz about it. So we're going to continue the buzzing.
Listen, people down in Carly Country, down in Louisiana, know about After Further Review.
They do.
I'm saying.
That's for real.
All right, gentlemen, as we get started here. Nice to be back. I didn't get to do this with you guys last week.
Yes, good to have you back.
Let's start with number one. I'm not a big fan of, you know, the Pro Bowl game itself. But my question for you guys on...
After further review...
The Browns will have three players voted into the Pro Bowl. Is that...
Fact or fiction?
I'm leaning toward fact. And I think the three will be... Joe Hayden. Joe Thomas. And a wide receiver by the name of Josh Gordon. That's the three.
I think they're going to end up with four.
Wow.
The three
wow.
you named and TJ Ward.
I like TJ too. I think he should be considered. I hope he can be because he's played well enough to get that. So four, yeah, I'd be ecstatic to see that. Okay. I'm. You know what? I'm going to change mine and say 4-2.
Come on, Notorious. There's room for you.
He talked me into TJ Ward. He talked me into TJ Ward. At one point, I was convinced that Jordan Cameron was there, but I think the fade has hurt him.
After further review,
Mike Tomlin should be fined and suspended for the Jacoby Jones incident last Thursday. Is that, gentlemen?
Fact or fiction?
He should be fined. I don't think suspended, but a heavy, heavy fine, and I think he's going to get hit to the tune of six figures by all indications. He told reporters today in Pittsburgh that he wants to be fined himself and the team not to be fined. But you know what? He doesn't get to make that call, and I do think, and as much as I like Mike Tomlin, I consider Mike Tomlin a friend, known him a long, long time, knew him when he was an assistant coach, but that move is going to get you in trouble. He knows he did wrong, I think. And he doesn't get the call that the Steelers don't get fined. And I think the Steelers should be punished by the action of the coach to discourage other coaches from doing this.
There's no question he's going to be fined. It is going to be a stiff penalty. If Jason Kidd got $50,000 from the NBA for spilling a drink, I think this could be $100,000. I don't think he should be suspended. I do think he should be fined, and I think he was very well aware of what was going on, and it will be handled at this juncture.
You can't fake that. You just can't try.
You can't fake that kind of a smirk. That was a great. That's what people like to call a beep-eating grin.
Yeah, that's right. It was a guilty smirk.
It was like, ha-ha.
Yeah. There's been talk, guys, that the Steelers might get penalized a draft pick.
No, it's
I don't. That shouldn't happen.
That's absurd. Yeah, that's absurd. I know why that talk comes up, and it's all about not letting this get out of control, not letting this turn into the trend that you don't want it to be. We don't want coaches involving themselves that way, do we? I mean, we don't even want to think about that.
No.
The NFL certainly will have huge issues with that, as they should. You talk about integrity and everything else in the game. You don't want that stuff happening, so discourage it in the largest possible way. And that's why I say if you make it punitive to the man himself, to the coach, and hit the team with a fine, now you've raised the stakes for the next guy. I think Mike Tomlin could weather this with the Steelers, but another coach wouldn't weather this if a team is forced to part with money over this. The draft pick would be huge, but I don't think that's warranted.
To me, the interesting question is, and I think what they need to do is to prevent this from happening, is because remember when you heard the mic'd up on the sideline in the Super Bowl and really the Niners had the chance to only chance to win the game was to run a kickback, and Joe Flacco's like, if that happens, I'm going to tackle this guy. Because the way the rules are written right now, if let's say you were in that situation in a playoff game and you tackle the guy, they're going to get 15 yards, but they're not going to get the touchdown, and they need to make sure that that is something that never actually happens.
And one further thing, and I've heard, and by the way, there's another little caveat to this. Mike Tomlin is a member of the NFL's competition
committee. Yes, he is.
Mike Tomlin is a leading guy in terms of a role with regard to the rules, the playing rules of the game, the fairness and the safety and all these things that competition committee members are supposed to be a part of. So I wonder if he's jeopardized his status with that committee. He could have, for sure. I hope not, too. But, Nathan, you know, again, he pays a price for this. That's going to come around. It's going to at least be thought of and brought up, okay, what kind of guy is part of this thing if he had the inclination to do this? And here's the other thing. That will be discussed by the competition committee when they get together, discussed, you know, what ways to prevent this from happening. You don't want a scenario where somebody from the sideline can affect, like you said, a scoring play. And I'll tell you one of the things that I know has been discussed before and will probably come up again. You may automatically award that team a touchdown whether or not the guy would have actually made it.
You would have to. I think that's the right thing to do.
Guys, last thought about this and we'll move on. From Matt Dryden on Twitter at Hammer Must Go. Hey, Vic and Nathan, what about the referees in that game? Where is their accountability? No call. And Hammer's not going anywhere, Matt.
You have to put them into the loop. I mean, they were part of it. That they couldn't have ignored it, although they did. Yep.
They did. The referee was a bad weekend for referees. If these were replacement referees, there would have been a lot of talk about where are the real referees.
Yeah, but good point.
That's right.
They were the real refs.
Right.
After further review.
All right, guys. Brandon Whedon will be, in the words of SI's Don Banks, the next Tim Tebow, as in not in the NFL next season. I hate asking that question, but I got to do it.
Fact or fiction?
I'm going to say fiction because he has made some NFL starts. And Caleb Haney, I'm just going to say that name, 4 starts in his 6-year career is under this emergency situation. They broke the glass and pulled a guy like that out to be part of the Browns now and very possibly, if not likely, starting Sunday. I don't think Brandon Whedon would be sitting far or on the sidelines too very long for teams to bring in, even for backup help, whatever it might be. I think he helped himself probably with his performance Sunday, even though it had some disastrous moments to it. The numbers spoke to him doing some things of the best he's done them since he's been a pro.
Yeah, I think as well, he makes some NFL throws. If somebody just put in the tape of some of the throws that he made, the good ones against Jacksonville this week, he does enough. And I think there's somebody who thinks that maybe in our offense we could work with him. He's got the NFL arm. I think he will be a backup in the National Football League. I don't think he is out of the league like Tim Tebow, because Tim Tebow can't throw the football. Brandon Whedon can still throw the football, and I'm sure there are plenty of people who think that maybe they can get inside of his head and help him in that aspect of the game.
True.
After further review...
All right, one race I'm really watching in the NFC is the NFC East. It's not a great division, but you've got the 7-5 Cowboys and the 7-5 Eagles going at it. My question to you guys, the Cowboys will beat out the Eagles and win that division. Is that
fact or fiction?
Will the Cowboys beat out the Eagles? I'm going to say fiction. I believe in this Nick Foles ride, and I don't believe in the Cowboys.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to come down to week 17, the Cowboys at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. They've already beaten the Eagles in Philly. So even if, as long as the Cowboys win week 17, I think it's a win and they're in. This is what's going to be interesting. They have at Chicago, will Jay Cutler be there? Not sure. Then home for Green Bay, is Aaron Rodgers going to be shut down? That certainly changes the tenor of that game. At Washington, a very winnable game, and then home for Philadelphia. I think their schedule is a little bit more favorable given some of the quarterback uncertainty of the teams that they face. And you look at this Eagles team, they've got Detroit this week at home, could be a tough one. At Minnesota, that should be a win. Home for Chicago, Jay Cutler will definitely be back by that point. That could go either way, but probably should be a win. It's going to come down to week 17 in Dallas. The winner of that game in week 17 will be the winner of the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm going to go down.
I'm leaning Dallas though.
But you're saying Dallas.
I'm going to take Dallas.
All right, and I'm going to still lean Philly. I think they've figured this thing out there. This Chip Kelly offense is a good fit, not only with the quarterback obviously playing as well as he is, Nick Foles, but just in general, the way the team is playing and responding to Chip Kelly's coaching. And I think it's legit for real.
And finally,
after further review,
the Browns' newcomer, and I'm talking draft picks, free agents, and everything, that has disappointed the most, has been kind of a letdown to this point, is Paul Kruger. Is that
fact or fiction?
Well, yeah, I think you got to say fact because of the total of sacks, and I think Paul himself would be the first one to acknowledge 2 sacks through 12 games is not the thing he was looking forward to when he came here as someone who on his sack totals, what was it, 9.5, I believe, totals for the Ravens and getting a whole bunch of those in the postseason, including the Super Bowl. I mean, he rode that here. Yeah, there were those questions. Was he benefiting from Terrell Suggs? Was he benefiting from supporting cast that allowed him a lot of freedom to the quarterback? And he hasn't done much to dispel that. I will say in some instances, certainly early on, he was doing things, at least applying pressure. At least some of the things he did to help the run defense was also, he was pretty stout there. But honestly, I think only 2 sacks after what was one of the largest investments financially in a free agent is not what he was looking for, and certainly not what the Browns, I don't think, would be looking for.
I'm going to say fiction because not because I don't think Paul Kruger has not quite lived up to the hype. I believe that he has failed to live up to the hype or to the salary that he's been paid, but I still think he can be a competent player on a winning football team and a good player. Leon McFadden was picked in the 3rd round of the draft on a team that is in need of cornerback help. Buster Screen stepped up. I think Chris Owens has been okay on the season. I wouldn't say that he has been great, but Leon McFadden, a 3rd round pick, was supposed to come in here and make an impact, and he has played exactly 46 snaps on defense out of 868 this season. 46 snaps for Leon McFadden. That is, in my opinion, zero return on the investment, and I think he has been by far the biggest disappointment in terms of the acquisitions and the new faces on this team. I thought Leon McFadden was going to come in here as a 3rd round pick, number 68 overall, and have an opportunity to do something and make an impact, and he has not been able to do that thus far. And in fact, he's starting to play at safety right now. The last couple of games, he's got a few snaps at safety as opposed to even cornerback.
And that, gentlemen, is
after further review
for this week.
Another successful segment. Nicely done. Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, coming up with those great questions. Good stuff. Good stuff and food for thought. All right, we're going to hear from a gentleman here shortly. He is Greg Bumbu from this dealership in Solon, the Liberty Ford dealership here on Aurora Road. We'll just check in with him and talk a little bit about what is going on here and just our great partnership with Liberty Ford. They've been a sponsor of this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, since day one, and they continue to be one of our great, great partners overall with the Cleveland Browns. Want to hear from him? We're going to hear from Gerard Cherry as well. He'll make his regular visit to CBD. Vic Carucci here in Solon at the Liberty Ford dealership on Aurora Road, and my partner, my buddy, Nathan Zagura at the studio in Berea. And we got much more ahead for you on ESPN 850 WKNR. Keep between